Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 17 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. Today's program is all about the regulation of the cosmetic industry and what you as a cosmetic formulator need to know. Consumer advocacy groups frequently claim that the cosmetic industry is unregulated. This is false. Governments around the world have developed rules regulating the manufacture and sale of cosmetics. While the rules are a bit different depending where you are, there are no drastic differences, which means the cosmetics you buy in one place in the world are basically the same things as what you can buy in other places in the world. Of course, there are subtle differences, but I can't go through all the specific differences in this show. However, you can get a good sense of how regulations work if we look at the way cosmetics are regulated in the U.S. This is where the Food and Drug Administration, also known as the FDA, comes into play. The regulatory framework for the cosmetic industry was set up in 1938 with the passage of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which created the FDA. The agency actually came about as a reaction to some real-world instances of people being blinded and killed by the use of unsafe products. As the name of the bill states, the FDA is responsible for regulating food, drugs, and cosmetics. To do this, they had to come up with a specific definition of what a cosmetic is and differentiate it from drugs. According to the FDA rules, cosmetics are defined by their intended use and are defined as articles intended to be rubbed, poured, sprinkled, or sprayed on, or introduced to, or otherwise applied to the human body for cleansing, beautifying, promoting attractiveness, or altering the appearance. This refers to all the categories of products we discussed in the first show of this series. So things that are cosmetics include skin moisturizers, perfumes, lipsticks, fingernail polishes, color cosmetics, cleansing shampoos, permanent waves, hair colors, deodorants, and much, much more. Drugs, on the other hand, are defined as articles intended for use in the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of a disease, and articles, other than food, intended to affect the structure or any function of the body of man or other animals. This means that cosmetics are technically not allowed to affect the metabolism or function of any parts of the body. If they do, they are either drugs or illegal. There are some cosmetic-type products that are actually drugs because they treat a disease or otherwise have a non-superficial effect. This would include products like antiperspirants, which stop sweating, anti-dandruff products, which stop dandruff, anti-acne products, which treat acne, and sunscreens, which prevent burning. Some of the anti-aging claims you see on supposed cosmeceuticals are technically illegal. In the U.S., cosmetics cannot stimulate collagen production or lighten skin. If they did, they would be illegal drugs. Incidentally, the FDA says that the term cosmeceutical does not have a specific meaning as far as the law is concerned. So pretty much anyone can use the term cosmeceutical for their product. Now that we know the difference between drugs and cosmetics, let's consider the things about cosmetics that the FDA regulates. First, there are ingredients. The FDA doesn't restrict the use of any ingredients. However, there are some ingredients like bethionol, chloroform, hexachlorophene, and eight more that are specifically banned or restricted in cosmetics. In the EU, the list of banned ingredients is over 1,000, but that is a little misleading as most of those ingredients wouldn't be used in cosmetics anyway. The overriding restriction, as ingredients go for cosmetics, is that it is illegal to add any ingredient to your cosmetics that would make the product unsafe. Remember, it is illegal to sell unsafe cosmetics in the United States. The other relevant regulations from the FDA related to the ingredients are colors. The FDA is very strict about ingredients allowed for use in cosmetics as colorants. They have a published list of allowed colorants, and if the ingredient is not on the list, it is not allowed to be used in cosmetics for coloring your product. Color additive violations are one of the most common reasons for detaining imported cosmetic products offered for entry into the U.S. you can find a list of allowed colorants listed on the FDA website. I'll have a link for that in the show notes. Beyond ingredients, the FDA also regulates the way cosmetics are labeled. There are specific rules about the ingredient lists and the chemical names you have to use. According to regulations, you are supposed to list all the ingredients used in the formula, and the chemical names must be listed in the International Nomenclature of Cosmetic Ingredients Dictionary, or the INCI. Often, people make the mistake of listing the chemical trade name rather than the approved INCI name. When this happens, your products are misbranded and could be subject to getting recalled. The INCI names are determined by the self-regulating group of the cosmetic industry, the Personal Care Products Council, otherwise known as the PCPC. You should get the proper INCI names from your chemical supplier for any ingredient that you're using. The ingredients have to be listed in a specific way, too, on your label. For ingredients above 1% in concentration in the formula, you have to list those in order of concentration. At 1% and below, they can be listed in pretty much any order that you want. In a future show, I'll go more into detail on the list of ingredients. The final thing that the FDA regulates about cosmetics are the claims that you can make. In day 14 of this series, I talked about claims more thoroughly, and if you haven't heard that episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. The overall message from the regulations about claims is that it is illegal to make false claims about your product. So anything you say, you have to be able to prove it is true. So the regulations of cosmetics in the U.S. can really boil down to these two rules. Number one, you can't sell unsafe cosmetics. Number two, you can't lie to sell your products. And this system seems to work out pretty well, since the cosmetic industry has an excellent record of safety. There are people who push for more strict regulations, but I'm not sure what benefit it would have. If regulations did become more strict, how would we measure whether the products are safer? How many less injuries would there be? How many injuries are caused by cosmetics now? It's very difficult to tell. It doesn't seem like there's very many. But as a formulator, you should know that eventually there may be more strict restrictions put on the creation of cosmetics. And you have to be able to keep up with these regulations because they will impact the way that you formulate. How you keep up with those regulations will be the last part of this show. Since cosmetics are chemicals that get applied to people's bodies, governments from around the world strive to ensure they are safe. It's a laudable goal, but a challenging one to implement since there is no universal standard for what is safe. The most difficult thing about cosmetic regulations for cosmetic scientists is that few people know definitive answers about the rules. They are almost always open to interpretation, so your actions will depend more on what your company regulatory expert thinks than on what the regulating agency thinks. Unfortunately, most regulatory departments are set up to tell you what you can't do rather than help you figure out what you can do. The best way to combat this regulatory obstacle is to find the answers yourself. To that end, here are some key websites that will help you find regulatory information about cosmetics. I'll have links to all of these in the show notes. Number one, the fda.gov/cosmetics website. Everything you need to know about the rules governing the sale of cosmetics in the United States is here. You can find information useful to both the consumer and cosmetic business owner. Every U.S. formulator should take the time to go through the information on this website. Number two, the European Commission. If you formulate for consumers in the EU, you should know that cosmetics are regulated by a document called the Cosmetics Directive 76/768/EEC. At the European Commission website, you can find the full text version and also some important commentary on the implications of the rules. An excellent website for all things EU regulatory. Number three is Health Canada. While it's not as big a market as the US or EU, Canada is still a significant player in the cosmetic industry, and their government wants to have their say. At this website, you can find all the rules, current and proposed, that will govern how you can sell your products in Canada. Number four is the Ministry of Health in Japan. They have a website. Although all governments have access to the same science, they don't always come to the same conclusions about what is safe. That has always seemed strange to me. At the Ministry of Health website, you'll find out what compounds are restricted in cosmetics sold in Japan. For example, there are preservatives that are allowed in the US, but they're not allowed in Japan. And number five is the Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board. This one isn't a governmental agency per se, but an industry agency that reviews safety data about cosmetic ingredients. They report to the FDA and provide an excellent guide as to what ingredients you can and cannot use when formulating cosmetics. They also give levels of ingredients and applications such as rinse off or leave on. If you want to know the safety profile of any ingredient you are using, you can look it up on the CIR website and find the information that has been published. This is really great stuff for formulators and also for people who want to counteract the nonsense information about chemical safety that you find on beauty blogs and NGO sites. Unfortunately, these studies, of course, can be a bit difficult to interpret. So there you have it. If you have any regulatory questions about the cosmetic industry, you can probably find the answers on one of these websites. I'll have links in the show notes for all of these websites. Of course, if you're still left with questions, no doubt one of the fine industry consultants on regulations can help. Regulatory information is really a specialty for various people in the industry, and for good reason, because it really can be challenging to figure out what's important and what applies when. So often, if you're an entrepreneur or a startup, you should consult a regulatory expert to make sure that you're doing things properly. Today's challenge. Today's challenge is meant to help get you up to speed on cosmetic regulations. The FDA website is the best source for finding the relevant information. However, there is so much information there that it's difficult to know what is relevant to formulators. Well, the FDA has a listing for articles that are most relevant to people in the cosmetic industry. Go through the list and read as many of these as you can. I would suggest you start with ones that I think are most relevant to formulators, including the article on what the law says about cosmetics, the article, is it a cosmetic, drug, or both? There's also a labeling guide. There is an article on inspection of cosmetics. And finally, there is the GMP guidelines. The GMP guidelines article is crucially important for anyone who wants to start their own cosmetic line and maybe is making products at home. After reading these, you will have an excellent background on what is expected of cosmetic manufacturers and formulators. By having a basic background of cosmetic regulation, you will be a more valuable formulator for your company and for the industry in general. If you have any comments or questions about cosmetic regulations, just go to the show notes and leave your comments or questions there. Well, that's it for today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's show, we'll return again to your career as a cosmetic chemist and how you might further it. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in the show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you use. Also, it's very helpful if you could leave a review in iTunes, so please do that if you get a chance. This will help others find the show, and it will let me know if you appreciate what we're doing. If you found these podcasts helpful, remember, please share it with anyone else you know who might be interested. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up to and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. At the very least, you can get lots of your questions answered there by cosmetic chemists from around the world. You can just go to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.